Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Today we're going to be talking with Connecticut Department of Public Health Commissioner Dr. Manisha Dutani on the issues related to the latest state vaccine guidance and access, and there's plenty to talk about here, so much so we'll probably have to have another conversation at another time, but we'll do our best to dig into it a bit in the next half hour. Commissioner, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Commissioner, let's start here. There's been a lot of talk about changes to vaccine guidance, access, things like that. How have you and how have your team actually been navigating those matters?
There's been a lot of talk and there's been a lot of proposed changes, but the reality actually is that there isn't that much that is different. As it relates to the COVID-19 vaccine, everybody 6 months and older is eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine, and we recommend shared decision-making. We recommend informed consent, which is always required. We recommend being aware of what risks are involved with taking a vaccine when you do it. And that still holds and is still the case. So although there was a potential for the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, which is the advisory committee to the CDC, to take votes potentially differently, the votes that they did take did reinforce the need for shared decision-making, for informed consent. But at the end of the day, the policy is not that different. How it has been operationalized is a little bit challenging at times, particularly in our pharmacies where they were trying to confirm, do people need to have certain conditions or not to be able to get a vaccine? But at the end of the day, the reality is that anybody 6 months and older who wants a COVID shot should be able to get one soon.
So the changes that people have been talking about might be in the organization of the system, as you've indicated, but not necessarily the basic guidance itself. In other words, talk with doctors.
That is absolutely correct. So the issues are more on the side, not so much of what is in DPH's hands, of recommending what is scientifically sound medical advice and good for population health, rather on the side of pharmacies and pharmacists, which unfortunately is not under DPH control. So often we get questions about that, and I can answer certain things about it, but I don't have any authority to change anything on that. That is under the Department of Consumer Protection. And then lastly, what insurance will cover. And that is why several weeks ago, we had a cross-state press conference led by Governor Lamont with me, with the DCP commissioner, Commissioner Caffarelli, with the Connecticut Insurance Department commissioner, Commissioner Mays, and our Department of Social Services and Medicaid program with Commissioner Barton Reeves, who had members of her Medicaid program present as well, all to say that in the state of Connecticut, we do want vaccine access to be maintained, and pharmacies are doing the best they can within the laws that we have within our state, because our biggest challenge right now is around children and access to COVID vaccines. So that is still something that's being worked through. But that a lot of our insurance providers have said that they will continue to cover the vaccine. And so that is the major take-home right now. As it relates to other vaccines, we really have not seen significant changes. There was a small change for the measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella combined vaccine, but that only applies to children 12 to 15 months of age. So in the large landscape, I know when there's a lot of noise and conflicting information that's out there, it's hard to tease out what has actually changed. The reality is we still recommend everybody 6 months and older to get a COVID vaccine shot. And in fact, the federal government is also recommending the same. So we have not really had any major change in that regard.
And as far as insurance is concerned, how are they able to make sure that they're able to back it with an insurance plan that it's covered?
So the state-regulated plans, which might be plans through Access Health, other plans that are private plans in the state, those have had a commitment through our Connecticut Insurance Department saying that they will cover it. The message for big self-insured plans, so that is, you know, if you have a large employer and they and you have insurance through them, what we have heard from the national organizations that help support those insurance plans is that they will continue to cover it. If you want to be 100% sure, you can call up your insurance company to make sure. But we have received reassurance from the national bodies that help these organizations operate that they will continue to cover it. And then we also got reassurance from our Medicaid program that it should be covered. So, although, again, not in my jurisdiction per se, I personally would feel pretty comfortable that most insurance plans are going to cover the COVID vaccine.
What have your talks been like with the Department of Consumer Protection as far as the pharmacies are concerned? As you've mentioned, it's not really under your purview per se, but it's a related industry and obviously a related issue. Where have those conversations been going, Commissioner?
So the Department of Consumer Protection put out a notice basically giving pharmacies comfort that they can go ahead and administer this shot. And as long as a person consents to it, they should be able to do that. One of the things that I personally saw sort of as a secret shopper would be that on various pharmacy sites that I went on to before DCP issued that guidance, there were more barriers so that there were more questions related to what comorbid conditions you might have, what other restrictions might be in place in terms of eligibility for the vaccine. But after that memo that came out from DCP, there is much less of that, and there really should be much less in terms of barriers. A lot of times the questions in terms of online scheduling were around, do you consent to receive this vaccine? Are you eligible for the vaccine? And if you said yes, you were able to move forward in the process. So I do think that things are becoming more clarified and that barriers to access are being removed.
I'm talking on Face Connecticut today with Dr. Manisha Jatani, who is the Connecticut Department of Public Health Commissioner. And something you mentioned there I found very interesting, that you're out on the streets doing research yourself.
Well, you know, we all are members of this great state, and I think some of the ways that you can sometimes find out best what challenges people are having are to go experience it yourself. And so I scheduled my own COVID shot, and I've done that in various different ways, and I tried to see what different places would look like and what barriers people are coming across, because I think that gives us the best information.
Very interesting, Commissioner. Now let's talk a little bit about this. There were some complaints, some accusations not long ago that Connecticut, in working with other regional states, that it was creating its own mini CDC, but you deny that.
Absolutely. First of all, we all have our own bureaucracies of our own states, and then there's the federal government. And the CDC, people may not realize, but really has no regulatory authority over states. And what I mean by that is they provide guidance to us. They may provide money to us. 80% of the money that CDC gets goes out to states to do public health programming. So that could be anything from disease prevention or disease surveillance, interventions to reduce risk of heart disease or lung disease or diabetes, any number of different grants. And 80% of our funding comes through granting mechanisms. So we may have to uphold certain grants deliverables that they may have for us, but they do not tell us per se what to do in a regulatory manner the way some other agencies might. For example, the EPA works with us on delivering safe drinking water to people, but the CDC does not operate in that way. And quite frankly, we don't need to create any other body that would have some sort of additional oversight or regulatory authority outside of our sovereign abilities as a state of Connecticut. What we are doing as states in the Northeast Public Health Collaborative is working together to help navigate this changing landscape as it relates to access to vaccines and preserving foundational public health. Because we are seeing significant reductions in funding coming forward. As you know, right now we are in a government shutdown. Our WIC program, which is Women, Infants, and Children, where women, infants, and children who are below the 185th percent of federal poverty level are eligible for food and breastfeeding supports. It's very restrictive. It's a nutrition assistance program. We had no money left in that program because of this government shutdown, and we are backfilling that through the support of Governor Lamont using rainy day funds that the state has to support that during this shutdown. That's an example of the kind of dependency we have on the federal government. And so when you have public health supports going away, when you learn from each other and collaborate with each other as states that are like-minded in many ways, then that gives us ability to think creatively and think about how we are going to solve problems going forward. I mentioned earlier that one of the areas that we are still challenged by right now in terms of access in the state is the COVID-19 vaccine for children. Again, nobody has to get it, but if you want to get it for your child, one of our challenges right now is that we purchase those vaccines through the CDC with a contract that they have with manufacturers and distributors. And when the ACIP voted on the eligibility of those vaccines, this is now 2 weeks ago today, usually the CDC director signs off on the same day or maybe the next day, and it's been 2 weeks where no one has signed off on those votes. And what that has translated into is that we cannot purchase those vaccines for children in the state of Connecticut right now. And that is a problem that I'm trying to solve as creatively as we can. We're continuing to work with federal partners to see if they are going to sign off on those votes, if the secretary will sign off, RFK Jr., or if the acting director of the CDC is going to sign off, because purchasing is tied to sign off on those votes. And so there is a dependency that we have, not in a regulatory way, but in an access sort of way. And so that is where we work as states with each other to say, how are you dealing with that problem if you have the same problem that we have? And we are coming up with new problems that we just sort of took for granted before in terms of access in the state. And if we have to solve those in creative ways, working with each other is a way that we hope to do that.
What are some of the specific ideas to...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You might have, perhaps as a state of Connecticut, but also as a region here, to get that vaccine for children and make sure that it's available.
So one potential solution would be to just develop an individual contract. And the more states you have that work together, the lower price we can get for those vaccines. So traditionally, the federal government has been able to leverage the scope and scale of the federal government in terms of reducing price. And, you know, if we really need to do that at some point, we may have to do that. We are in the midst of the rise of respiratory viral diseases this season. We already are seeing a rise in COVID cases. You know, what's remarkable to me, if you look at 2024 to 2025, we had, you know, very low flu cases. And then last winter, we had an enormous spike, the highest we'd seen in over a decade in flu. And then it came down like it would in most respiratory seasons. And COVID did not have a spike like that, but it just had a steady sort of low roller coaster set of cases over the entire year. And when I looked at the number of cases that were hospitalized, again, we don't get all cases of COVID reported to us as the health department anymore. We only get those who were hospitalized and died. We had almost 47,000 cases of COVID in the 24 to 25 season, and we had 45,000 cases of flu. So even with that huge spike we saw last year, we still had more COVID over the course of the year. And unfortunately, COVID was not seasonal last year the way it has been in previous years. And if we look at the number of people that died from COVID versus flu, we had 4,500 people die last year in the state of Connecticut, and we had 2,500 people die from flu last year. Just in the last year, I'm talking about 24 to 25. People don't really want to think about COVID or think it's part of our past. And the reality is that the burden of that disease is highest in people 65 and older for sure, but also in our youngest infants, 6 months to 23 months of age. They've never seen COVID. They weren't born during the pandemic. They don't have any immunity whatsoever. And so, you know, when I think about our access and when I think about protecting people in our state, I think about protecting our youngest kids, our oldest members of our society, and those of us who are in that other age group of sort of 19 to 65, getting these shots, flu, COVID, they really help protect ourselves. They help keep us in work and school, and they help protect the other people in our families whose immunity might not be as strong, even if they get those shots themselves.
How serious are those hospitalizations? You think back to 2020, you heard about the ventilator and things of that nature.
No, it's nowhere close to 2020. If you think about what I just shared in terms of data, if you think back to 2020, we had 11,000 people die in that first wave, roughly, of
right.
COVID. When I talk about 4,500 people dying from COVID in the 24 to 25 season, that's, you know, a third of the people, roughly, you know, from, or, you know, getting close to half. But you know, a third of the people that died in the depths of the first wave of the pandemic. So we're nowhere close to that. And I would not want anybody to think that I'm trying to make it seem like COVID is anywhere close to what it was like in the beginning of the pandemic. I am a huge proponent of being actively engaged in society and being out and about and at the same time taking precautions that we can to help keep ourselves and our families as healthy as possible. And that's why I recommend the vaccine. But you know what? If you don't want to do that, that's up to you. This is not about mandates. This is all about choice. It's about helping to educate people on what the facts are right now. And one of the challenges with COVID not being seasonal in this past year is that when I tell you that there were 47,000 people hospitalized over the course of the year and 4,500 people died, but it's happening all year round, people start getting numb to that, right? They start getting numb to the idea that there's this virus that is still the predominant one in terms of morbidity and mortality in our community. And it is, of course, the fact that our most vulnerable are the ones that are most at risk. I know, for example, the beginning of this school year, the start of this school year, there have been tons of cases of COVID. I know schools where it's just ripped through a school and everybody has, you know, cough and cold and people have been in and out of school and teachers and students, and most people have done okay. And that's great for those people. Again, our COVID shots were not even available really at the very, very beginning of the school year. But now as we continue on, there are going to be other schools that are going to have experiences like that. So for our teachers, for our paraprofessionals, for our students, that is a way, a vaccination is a way to help minimize at least your length of time maybe that you're out, or maybe prevent infection altogether. And everybody's going to be a little bit different in terms of how it plays out for you.
Other than COVID, I have seen and I have heard numerous questions about MMR vaccines. Are you following any of those questions as well, Commissioner?
So MMR is something that we have full access to, and most adults in our society would be immune. If you were born in the early 60s, there is a chance that you only got a different type of vaccine where maybe your immunity was not as strong. Over the decades, at some point, it was recommended that a second shot be given to make sure that immunity lasted lifelong. Interestingly, I am 52 years old. I went back to my own records, the records that my mom kept for me, and saw that in 1974, I got one shot of MMR, but only one. I never got a second one because I was in that window where it wasn't recommended yet. So what I did was I asked my primary care doctor to check my titer. So that's a blood test you can do to see if you're immune. And if I wasn't immune, I was going to get a second MMR shot just to ensure my immunity. But I got my titer done, and it was off the charts, plenty of immunity. And so I could feel reassured that I'm in a good place personally. Now, as a state, one of the benefits we have as a state is that we do have a very highly vaccinated state. 98.2% of kids entering kindergarten in our public and private schools were vaccinated for measles, mumps, and rubella. That's the highest in the country right now. And we know that we've had measles cases throughout our country this year. We are one of 9 states that has not had a case yet. And I do credit our high vaccination rates with part of the reason why we haven't had a case yet. But people cross borders all the time. People travel all the time. I will not be surprised if we do have a case with the number of measles cases we've had throughout this country this year.
With so many of these issues, Commissioner, having become so political in recent years, is there a place where people can get information that they know is something that they can trust? Is it talking with a doctor? Is there some resource, some place that you could point people to other than that? Where can we tell them to go where they can get just straight information without the political bias that might be attached to it one direction or another?
I firmly believe that public health is really not supposed to be political or partisan. And the goal of health and health care, public health and health care, is to take care of the people in front of you, whether it be the population at large or the person right in front of you. So what I would tell you is that, first of all, our Connecticut Department of Public Health website actually had a refresh and brand new look and hopefully more easily accessible information launched last night. And so I hope that people can find information through us. The Connecticut Department of Public Health is here to serve the residents of Connecticut. That is our goal. And keeping people healthy is our goal. So certainly we are one resource that I can point to. And I would always direct people for your individual health to talk to your doctor. That is always the best place you can go. I understand some people may not have a primary care doctor. I understand that some people may have a hard time getting into doctors' offices. And I also understand that doctors are under enormous pressure to see as many people as quickly as possible. And so there often sometimes feels to people like there's not enough time to get information, whether it be online or in person or wherever it may be, to try to get the real information that you need. But I think if you put together all of these resources that I've described, it's at least a place to start.
Are there any final thoughts, Commissioner, that you'd like to share with the public about the vaccine issue and where we are in Connecticut at this time?
What I'd like people to know is that we, as the Connecticut Department of Public Health, are really about trying to give you the information you need to make best choices for you and your family, and that you I hope, can rely on us as a trusted source of information to then digest and then decide what's going to be good for you. And as it relates to vaccines, the vast majority of people in our state do believe in the vaccines that are recommended for them. And I understand sometimes people have questions about specific vaccines, and that's where specifically talking to your doctor can be really helpful to figure out, why is it that you want me to get this one versus another one? Or I believe in this one, but I'm not so sure about this one because I've heard the following critiques about it. That's where your doctor can be really helpful to you. And the state of Connecticut is really trying to ensure that we can maintain that access so that although we firmly believe in choice, we also believe that you need to have access to make those choices. And right now, I do know that that access is not fully in place, and I'm working very hard at ensuring that people in our state can have that confidence in their government and can have that confidence that we will provide you that access that you so deserve.
Connecticut Department of Public Health Commissioner Dr. Manisha Jatani. Doctor, thank you for joining us on Face Connecticut. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.